Appreciate all that good singing this morning. Appreciate the choir singing. That was good. Appreciate Miss Naomi being willing to sing that song. I'll talk more about that in just a minute here. You got your Bible. I want to read one verse out of Proverbs chapter number 25. Now, there'll be more verses, but this is going to be our text verse for today. And the title of the message is The Constancy of God in a Changing World. People need something constant. Let's read our verse over in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 25. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. There's a song that Ann Murray used to sing. Some of y'all more mature people in here will remember that song. Some of you young people need to put it up and put it on your iMusic, you know, all that stuff y'all got on your phones. Back when country music was real. And song had this line in it, sure could use a little good news today. You know, the thing about the song when you listen to it, and you know, the song obviously has been around for a while. I'm going to say probably 40 years or more. And it talked about in there in one line, it said, nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. Sure could use a little good news today. It said, nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd. Nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. Sure could use a little good news today. Now, the thing about that song, if you listen to it and you understand the date of it and how old it was, and it was very popular on the Christian country stations back in those days. There might have been a few Christian stations even play it. But, you know, it was talking about the times and the signs of the times. Well, guess what, folks? We're even past that. You know, in our lives and the things that we deal with, there's a changing world all around us. The world is ever changing, and we need something constant. You know, sometimes in our life, the changes of our life and the changes that we face with, they cause us sometimes to be pushed to our limit, to be rattled, to be challenged. And I appreciate Naomi singing this song this morning, I'm a Child of the King. Now, folks, that song's older than the one I just mentioned by Ann Murray. It's been around a long time, and it was a song that I heard sometimes back when I was growing up, and I hadn't heard it for a long time until I went up to L.A.J., Georgia to go to a funeral. And I was sitting there in the funeral, and here's kind of the situation. It was the funeral of a niece or nephew of one of Kendra's cousins had had a child, and Chris and Hannah had waited a long time to have a child. These are Christian folks now. These are people that love God and they're serving God. And they had a little boy and he was born. His name was Mac. He only lived a couple of days. And here we are at a funeral and we're sitting there at a church service. And Mom and Dad are sitting right here. And the preacher gets up and he delivers the message. And you know it's heavy. It's one thing when you lose, you know, someone that's up in their 70s or 80s or 90s and you've lived a full life. It's another for a mother and dad to face this. But they were sitting there together holding hands, and after the priest had delivered the message, a lady come down and she stood behind the pulpit and she sang, I'm the Child of the King, and she sang it a cappella and she reared back and she let it go. And I'm sitting over there thinking about there is a God who's constant in our changing world. Now, to tell you a little more, we went on to the cemetery, and Dad got that little casket. He said, I want to do this. There wasn't any pallbearers. Daddy had it. And he carried it over, and he handed it to him. And he took his wife by the hand, and he was the man of God in the house that he was supposed to be. And they buried that little boy that they prayed for and they longed for. But they said, I'm a child of the King. My God's not changed. Even though the circumstances, even though the things that I face in my life might come against me, and we might be challenged by it every day, my God is constant. I'm not going to leave it there. I'm going to give you a little good news today. It was just a couple of years later that they prayed and they said, God, give us a child. They had a little girl. Her name is Macy Jane. And she gets her picture took every Sunday morning at church with her church clothes on. And y'all know where we see it, on Facebook. They honor God with their lives. And they're blessing to us. But how about you? Has your world changed? The reality is sometimes the circumstances of our lives are ever changing. They're changing. We face things whether we want to or not. Issues of life and issues of death that come against us. We face health issues whether we want to or not. We face work-related issues whether we want to or not. We face economic issues, relationship issues, family issues. And today, political and geopolitical issues, whether we want to or not. When we look at the news and we see what's going on, and all of a sudden, if we're not careful, what you find yourself, but with all the things of life that are coming against you, you sometimes can get overwhelmed. It's more than you can manage. It's more than you can actually put into its proper place alone, because you really don't have the capacity to handle it all. But I want you to understand something. God does. Because there are some things that are constant. And this is going to sound familiar, but this is what's on my heart, and this is what I believe God wants me to share with you today. Is, you know, when you look around at the world, here's what I want you to understand. God doesn't get nervous about it. He's not concerned about what's going on in the next election, whether you like either one of them or not. It's going to be all right. One day they're both going to be forgotten about. Just like who won the last World Series, or who won the last whatever it's called, Super Bowl, I think they call it. Right. It's going to go away. It's not going to matter. Right. The kingdoms of the world that were once rulers of the world, sometimes people don't even remember that the Persian Empire one time actually ruled the world. Right. But it passed. And all the things that we deal with in our life are going to pass, but there are some things that that are constant, and God wants us to remember them from His Word. And here's the first one. I want you to understand and get a hold of this, folks. Even though we're living in 2024, not Y2K, remember that and how it made people nervous? Oh, you remember when the Mayan calendar ended? And they, some people just didn't believe the world could go on if the Mayan calendar ended. It's okay. Here's why. Because God has not changed. If people could get a hold of that fact and get it in them and understand that God has not changed. And we're going to give you a few of those things about God. Number one, God's Word. God's Word has not changed, folks. Maybe if you ever want to really understand the Word, just sit down with your Bible and read what the Word says about the Word. Here's a verse out of Psalms 119, verse 89 and 90. It says this, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." Do you get that? That's all generations. That includes you. It wasn't just the ones that lived during the time that this word was penned in Psalms 119, but it's to all generations. And he says this, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. And here's what I want people to understand. The earth is going to abide until God says it's time for it to be over. His word's not going to change. His power's not going to change. His arm is not shortened. His ear is not stopped. And his eye is not shut. He's faithful to all generations. Now, I've said this before, and I say it a lot. Raise your Bible up. How many of you own your parents' or your grandparents' Bible? Raise your hand if you do. Every now and then, I suggest you just get it out and read it. Why? Well, it reads just like mine. That's the point. That's the point. To understand that God's not changed. God's word has not changed. He's not going to change. And when we look around us at the world today and people that are trying to let every false doctrine and wrong thing into the house of God, God has not changed. God's character has not changed. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I like these verses. I get them out and read them. I like them. He said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Now, I've changed. Those things about my life have changed. Yesterday, I brought a puppy home. And my wife thought it was funny to get my daughter on the phone and show a picture of me with a dog. And my daughter's literally said this. She said, literally, I know I have seen pigs fly. I said, you know, all my life, I said, I'll never have a dog. I'll not do it. I won't this. I won't do that. And, you know, and then here it is. What does that tell you? You change. You know why you change? Sometimes you change because you learn. Sometimes you change because God grabs your heart and he squeezes it. Some of you like the Grinch. God needs to grab that heart. If what God does when God gets a hold of you is he works on your character so that your character becomes more like his character because he don't need to change. He was right from the beginning. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and the next one is forever. Forever. Let's go down to another one. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. It says, wherein, now obviously there's something before this, but I can't preach the whole Bible. Y'all accuse me of that sometimes. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability, that means the unchanging of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchanging things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now, folks, we have hope, we do, but here's why, because God does not change. You know, I try to be constant in my relationships and you know, in my relationship with my wife and my relationship with my children and my relationship with the church. And here's the truth. If I'm going to change, and sometimes we are, you're going to change, I want to change for the better. I want to change to be more understanding. I want to learn and be more kind. It's kind of like after, you know, you have your first kid. My grandkids were the first one. They wore me out. We'd go out to eat and they'd say, now you're going to eat your vegetables. You're going to eat that right there. If you want this, you eat that. It didn't disrupt the whole dinner. I just wanted to let him have what he wants so we can eat in peace. You know, it's funny to me, you watch them and they say, you're going to eat that, you're going to eat that. About the time the third one comes along, they say, just give it macaroni. We change. But God don't change. God is still the same God that was preached during the Great Awakening, when there was a great revival in Europe and people began to come to the Lord by the thousands. You go over to Europe today and you find that many of those churches that were built during the Great Awakening time are empty because people are not coming to them anymore. They're not hungry for the things of God anymore. But it's not because God has changed. It's because people have changed. You know, if we change, we want to change for the better. Now, how can we change for the better? I'll tell you how we can change for the better. We can put ourselves aside for God's will and honor and glory. And what we need to do at Hiram First Baptist Church is be seeking to change, but be seeking to change to be more like Christ and less like us. He's the same God. When people ran to the churches after 9/11. And they were hungry and they needed God and they were afraid and they thought we might be going into World War III. We don't know what's going to happen until Jesus comes. We don't know what we're going to hear all of a sudden on CNN that we're in a major conflict somewhere around the world. And if it's big enough, I guarantee you the church won't be big enough for the people that will come. But I want you to understand something. When it happens, what the reason that they come during those times is they understand that in a changing world, in an age of devastation, when our mountains are too high for us to climb, they know that God is constant. They know that God doesn't change, and they know that God still has the power, and He does. You see, His word doesn't change. His character doesn't change. His promises. Do not change. It is impossible, it says, for God to lie. And it says over in 2 Peter, words going along with this, that are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And God's promises are not affected by the things that affect us. You know, God's promises are not affected by world events, not affected by natural events. Did y'all remember just how long was it just a couple of years ago when it was COVID-19 and we were wearing the mask and it was, you know, what was that social distancing about? And I understand it was a real time and it hurt people, but you remember what they said? They said we would never get back to this. Remember when they said it? We would never get back to this. Now people don't even talk about it. You know, during those times, just like this message, there were many families who had a changing world. When your family and your home is affected by something, it is a changing world for you. It's a changing world when you're dealing with loss. It's a changing world that when you're dealing with pain. But the reason we're here today and the reason we still sing, oh yes, I'm a child of the King, is because God is still constant. He's not affected by the things that affect us. Number one, God's not changed. Number two, here's something I want you to understand. God still cares for you. I know sometimes, and we're just human beings, we wonder if God still sees us. We wonder if God is still cares for us as much as He did. You know why? Because our world's changing. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's true, and I hear about it so many times, that in the house of God, here within this building, there are people, there are families that have dealt with loss. They dealt with children that are addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs, and they're doing, here's what is difficult. God, I'm doing everything that I can to serve you. Why won't my children come to church? Why won't my children do right? God, I've never done everything in the world that I know to do to serve you. God, why has my family forsaken me? God, these are the people that raised me. These are the people that ought to love me. This is my mother. This is my dad. This is my brother. This is my sister. But a changing world changes people, and sometimes it takes them further from God. And the difficulty for us as Christians is we get in the middle of those circumstances and we say, God, do you still care for me? God, do you still see me? God, do you still see what my needs are? Let's just be real. How many tears have we shed? How many times have we bowed our head and said, God, I need to know that you're still there. God, I need to know that you still care. God, I don't understand why when I'm trying to live a Christian life, there's storm after storm and trial after trial. God, I need to know. But here's what I want you to understand. God still cares for you. He still cares for his people. He still answers prayers. And God knows. God knows, he understands, he sees, and he cares. And God wants a relationship with you. There's a verse over here in Isaiah chapter number 49. I love these couple of verses. And it's a picture that's painted here by the prophet. I want to read this to you, and I want you to see this. It says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now here's what it says. Yea, they may forget. He says, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Now let me tell you what a baby will do. A baby will make a teenage girl turn into a mama. Like that. Because, you know, when that baby whimpers, that baby cries, and I've been there myself. I've always said that I was a mothering dad. Because my wife had Luke trained to sleep in a bassinet overnight, and I said, we can't have that. And I went and got him out, and I laid him right here. He was about this long. I'd lay in the recliner every night. Finally, he grew and he grew, you know, and he was there, and I was holding him, and finally one day I said, son, get off of me. My leg's going to sleep. But I tell you what a baby will do to a mother. And Scripture says he or she may forget, but I want to tell you something. A mother will set up all night just to make sure that baby's chest is moving if it's sick. Because she cares about it and she loves it and she wants it to be okay. And what the Lord's saying is that mother that loves that baby that much could forget about it. He said, but I love you more. I love you more and I won't forget about you. Let me tell you how. Amen. He said, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. What's that mean? He went to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed his feet. After he had been beaten, they put the crown of thorns upon his head. You know, we go through storms in our life and we're here, but what we're facing here is temporal. Jesus right now seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. And the only things that are in heaven that are made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. The latter part of this. He said, thy walls are continually before me. What's that mean? That means God knows what your limitations are. You see, when you're crying out to God and you're wondering if God cares and you're questioning God, God knows what your limitations are. He knows the limits of your ability to handle stress. He knows what your nerves can withstand. He understands that even in the midst of your difficulty, sometimes you even question him. He says, thy walls are continually before me. Over in the book of Psalms in the 103rd chapter, this is some of my favorite scripture. And it brings it back and it puts it within our understanding. I can remember one time when Kendra and I were, we hadn't been married long. We didn't have kids of our own. We first got married, she worked at a daycare. She would bring kids home. And we would keep them, sometimes for weeks and even months. We would keep them because their mamas and daddies really didn't want them. Sometimes they had a mama and all she wanted to do was party, and she just didn't care if we had it. One time we had a little boy and a little girl. It was named Johnny and Dana. She brought them home. I think the little boy was like 3 and the little girl was 5. We lived in a trailer when we first got married, a little trailer out in Woodstock, and we didn't want to put them on the opposite end of the house from us, so we made them a pallet in the living room. It was just right outside the kitchen in the living room. Of course, she'd put it by the heat bench, you know, that'd keep them warm. But they'd lay there on the pallet at night, and they'd hold hands, little boy and little girl. Now, folks, that just gives you a picture of what kind of home they came from. Little boy, he'd let me play with him. Little girl never, ever got anywhere near me close enough I could touch her. You know what kind of environment she came from then, right? But I can remember taking them to church, and here I am now. I'm a young Christian, and I've not been married long. We've never had kids of our own. Remember what I said about the grandkids? I was learning. I had to be taught. And I expected them kids to be good kids, you know. And there was an elderly lady in the church. She gave me a word of wisdom. She's already with the Lord today. And she just looked at me. She didn't speak much, you know, one of them kind. She just said, you know, if we could ever be as good Christians as we expect them to be kids, we'd probably learn something, wouldn't we? Amen. I just said, yes, ma'am. And it taught me something. Do you know that God looks at us similar to that? God understands. Over here in Psalms 103. It says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, in the 11th verse, so great is his mercies toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Then I love this 13th verse. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know, when he says, thy walls are continually before me, he knows us. And he knows what our limitations are. And he understands enough to look down at us. And sometimes all that God does is like us. He just looks at us and he shakes his head. You know that sometimes God might come by and he'd say, you know, it don't have to be that difficult. Amen. If you just surrender. If you just listen, if you just let me help you, I haven't left you. I've not gone anywhere. Maybe the reason you're where you're at is because you need to learn who God is. You see, God still cares for you. And here's another one. God's eternal plans have not changed. I want people to understand that. Just because we're living in the age and this Bible, the Bible's being fulfilled where Daniel said, many shall run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. Folks, your iPhone is a computer now. And the knowledge of it changes and it changes and it changes. And now we got all this stuff with AI and people are nervous everywhere. I want you to understand something. God's not worried about AI. When he returns, the Bible talks about out of his mouth when he speaks, it's going to be like rolling thunders of waters. And when Jesus returns, the Bible says every knee will bow. Every means every. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because God's eternal plans has not changed. He's not surprised or caught off guard by what's going on in this world today. He doesn't walk around wringing his hands like I do. He's not worried about what's going to happen. Why? Because God has not lost his power. Matthew 24, verse 35 says this, heaven and earth shall pass away. But he said, but my words shall not pass away. And then you go on down to the 42nd verse. Here's what we need to understand. God's plan to return for his children have not changed. It's not changed. God's still coming back like he said. He says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. Now, folks, the Bible tells us this. He said, no man knows the day nor the hour. We were talking about this a little bit in men's Bible study Wednesday night, but what does it say, though? It says, you know that when the sky is red and lowering, that it'll be foul weather. It's kind of like when you walk out and the wind's blowing real hard. You ever seen in the springtime how the leaves of the trees turn over? And the wind starts blowing. You've learned over the years, it's time to get in. When we see things going on like we see in the world today, he said, you're going to see it, and you know it's time to get close. Right, why? Because he's going to call. He's coming. And when he comes, it's just going to fulfill the scripture that he says, and he's got a place prepared for us, eternal. It's going to be satisfying. This life really is temporal. Sometimes when I think about it, it's like, you know, there are so many blessings, God, that you've given us. Right? But you ever feel like, God, it's just so much work to take care of it. Every time you paint the house and you go around there and you look at it, where'd that piece of rotten wood come from? Where's that mold come from over there? Why is that window broke? I just cut this grass last week. Then you go over to the car and you got a door ding in it. It ain't new no more. Doesn't the Bible say not to lay up treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Here's what heaven's going to have, and I'm going to move on. Heaven's going to have all the good stuff. All the good stuff, none of the bad stuff. Now, when I think about heaven, I think about I believe God's going to bless you. He said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Folks, I smell cornbread cooking for some reason when I think about heaven. I smell a fried squash with fried potatoes and onions in it. People say, well, you won't have that in heaven. I will. You might not, but I will. We're going to be satisfied when we get there. I believe that with all my heart. John chapter 14, I'm going to give you these last couple of verses and we're going to close. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, and this is Jesus speaking, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He said, I will come again. Yeah. Now here, remember, God is constant, and he's constant in a changing world. This word has not changed. When it was originally penned down in John chapter number 14, verse 1 through 3, it read the same way that it reads today. And if you read your Bible and you understand the signs of the times, what you find is many things that God said were going to come to pass. They've come to pass. Amen. And the rest is going to be the same. Right. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I like what David wrote over there in the 23rd Psalm when he's writing and he gets down to the end. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I tell you something, folks? Over there in the 23rd Psalm, we believe that that was written by David. Over here in the book of John, we believe that was written by John, the apostle. Can I tell you they didn't know each other? And I tell you, they lived hundreds of years apart, and that these two passages were not written by the same person. But here's what was constant. It was the same God that was over there with David, as was there with John. And here's what I want you to understand today as we get ready with a song. It's the same God that we serve today. The same promises He had for them are mine and they're yours. I want to ask you to rise to your feet. I've delivered what God has laid on my heart. I want to tell you that if you're dealing with something and you need a constant, God is constant. If you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you to meet Him. As the Bible says, you must be born again. Eternity is our home if we want it to be with the Lord. But you got to want it. And here's the thing about it. God's not changed. The way God saves is still the same. He speaks to the heart. And through the Holy Spirit, He draws men to Himself. Jesus said, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That's why we sing, even in the midst of our storms and our trials and our circumstances. We can say, oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Go ahead and play your song.